Okay. Well, we kind of, as we started out the year, I wanted to go back and talk about some foundational things, and I don't know how long I'll be doing that. Eventually, we'll get back to Galatians if the Lord wills. We talked about the doctrines of grace. I'll talk a few weeks, because it'll take a few weeks just to get through this sermon, I'm afraid. Maybe we'll do some others. Touching on the Lord's church. And my notes, I don't know, I didn't go back and try to figure other. I don't think I've, 94 is when I first preached this. If I ever preached it again, I don't know. And I have it in my old handwriting, so be careful. Give me a little bit of a leeway. I can't hardly read that anymore. It's tiny. And but we're going to go there. And I don't usually pay attention to what I've written down that much anyway. I want to talk about the place of the Lord's choosing. The place of the Lord's choosing. And you'll see sometimes there's billboards or ads in the paper and says, you know, go to the church of your choice. Well, you know, that's good libertarian philosophy. And, you know, I think folks should go to the church of their choice. But more importantly, if we're the children of God, if we claim to be His, we should go to the church of His choice. The place of the Lord's choosing. And the scripture's abundantly clear about this, you know, from the Old Testament on. I mean, there's no place for what is called syncretism, where, you know, you kind of get it all together and mix it up. Throw it in the air, I guess, like a tossed salad. I'm going to begin by looking at a passage, a couple passages, actually, and some of them a little bit more lengthy. I'll try to read through them. Probably won't be able to make it through them without stopping and commenting some. But anyway, and beginning in Deuteronomy, in chapter 12. And the Lord sets forth these things to the children of Israel. But brethren, we understand that the things with the children of Israel, a verse I often like to reflect upon, especially when we're looking in the Old Testament, that they're set forth to be examples to us. Now, they're examples. They're not just a nice story or a tale to try to teach us something. And what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:11 is something to ever keep in our mind. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, Paul spoke concerning the happenings to Israel in the Old Testament and so forth. He said, now all these things happened unto them. Now, I'm going to spend a year in a liberal Southern Baptist cemetery. My Old Testament professor would, you know, tell how these things, they're tales, they're stories. They're kind of like folk literature to teach us, you know, or to explain something. No, Paul's abundantly clear. Now all these things happened unto them. God had a purpose in it for them. It happened to them. But He also had a purpose in it for us. That's the marvelous sovereign God that we serve. I remember that atheist that was my friend for a while, come to Free Florida First meetings and whatever, and we'd praise the Lord about how, you know, we spared us from the hurricane and whatever. He'd get mad. What about those people that didn't get spared? Listen, God had a purpose and an intent in that for them and for me. It wasn't like God just had to do something for me and He couldn't do anything for those. And it's the mystery of God, of our sovereign God, that He's working in those things for the children of Israel, but He was working through the children of Israel in those things for us. And in contemporary time, and again, for us and for those about this, it's like it's all working in His sovereign plan. And it doesn't surprise me that your little pea brain can't wrap around it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happened unto them for examples. And as we look at these things, keep that in mind. These things happened to Israel, but they happened to teach us some things as well. They're still truths. We can't dismiss them and just say, well, that was Old Testament. Well, that was Israel. They're not directly to us, but they're in samples to us. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. They're written to teach us something. They're written to instruct us upon whom the ends of the world are come. In these latter days, Paul says, which began with the coming, first coming of the Lord. And I think more and more we think we can see the end from here. But also, these things happen to them for examples. They happen to teach us. Those of us that live in this time, in this age, in this day. And so we keep that in mind as we look back to a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. And speaking to the children of Israel. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess all the days that they live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. You know, like an evergreen tree, like Xmas. Anyway, well, I've got a sermon on that one too. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Then God said, you can't have it both ways. You can't do it the pagan way. You have to eradicate those things. You have to eliminate those things. You can't turn them around and say, well, we're using those same things to worship God now. No, look at the next verse there. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. Oh, you don't pick up those ways of the pagans. Xmas, Easter, and oh yeah, today's Valentine's Day. St. Valentine's, you know, another pagan holiday from Rome. I love my wife. And I take her out to eat when she lets me, but she doesn't want to leave the house much anymore. She's happy to eat here. And if I go out, she just soon will bring something home. And that's all right. But I don't love the pagan Roman church. And I don't love the pagan high places. And I don't love the false gods. And I don't love their groves. And I don't love their evergreen trees. That kind of sets us apart. You know what? God intends that. You shall not do unto the Lord your God. I'm here in verse 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek. Thither thou shalt come. Listen, go where the Lord says to go. Go to the place the Lord chose. I mean, for some folks, the church of their choice is the Pope's church. Or Martin Luther's church, or John Calvin's church, or Mary Baker Eddy's church, or Russell's church, or you can go on and on. But no, to the place where the Lord chose to set his name there. We'll get into that, but you can identify that place from Scripture. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes and put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that he hath put your hand unto, ye and your households wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Says there, where the Lord chose. You say, well, yeah, okay, there, but maybe all these other places too, you know, these parachurch organizations and these non-government NGOs, non-government organizations, all, you know, no! The Lord will receive worship at his house, at the place he chose, at the place he designated. And there, verse 7, and there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Ye shall not do after all those things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. You know, folks say, just have faith. Don't matter what it says, just have faith. That's all that matters. No, it isn't all that matters. It's not what's right in your eyes. It's what's right in God's eyes. It's what's right by what God revealed. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye shall dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, and heave offering in your hand, and all your choice vows, which ye vow unto the Lord. It's important to worship God how and where he's determined. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, verse 12, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou shalt not, that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. You know, some folks, a dear friend tells me he's a church hobo, you know, and he goes here and there and all kind of cats and dogs. And I says, not every place you see. You know, I'll take up with this evangelistic association or that evangelistic association or that group or this group. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the and thee. That's what I think you call a definitive article, right? Or a definite article. It's the, not in a place, an indefinite article, but in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. Pretty specific. Where the Lord said, and as the Lord said. And we'll look at it a little bit as we go on, when the tabernacle, that was exactly as the Lord had said to have it built, and the temple. And guess what? The Lord's church in this day and age. if you go ahead to Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 15 and verse 20, it says, thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year in the place which the Lord shall choose, thou and thy household. The place that God chooses. And again, we can see that place described in scriptures. Down in Deuteronomy 16 and verse 5. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover. Listen, God has a place for his people in every age. And God places his name there. In the place where the Lord, not like, you know, Church of God says, okay, well, we're the real church because we decided to call ourselves the Church of God. You look back and look at their history, you know, they weren't around. You know, when the Lord formed his church. So it can't exactly be that. They can't show how they came from that church. But the place that the Lord chose, the place where the Lord puts his name. But at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even and at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. Down in verse 11 there of chapter 16 of Deuteronomy. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite that was within thy gate, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. One more verse there in Deuteronomy 16, verse 15. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy inheritance and in all the works of thine hand. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. Then the Lord has determined the place that he's going to place his name, and the Lord has made that evident. He made it evident at the tabernacle. He made it evident at the temple. God has the right. Do you believe that? God has the right, you know, to choose how and where he will receive worship, and where he will receive service, and where he will meet with his people. God's not like you and me. He doesn't need shelter. He doesn't need a house, you know, to protect himself. But God makes a house where he meets with his people. He makes a place where he meets with his people. And as he is determined, he has a place where he places his name. And we'll look at it more as we go on. But on the day of Pentecost, the church had already been built. You know, Jesus Christ said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. John the Baptist said that he was already with the bridegroom was already with the bride. That was long before Pentecost. The church was in existence. The Lord had built it up. But on the day of Pentecost, God, before the world, publicly said, this is my house in this age. This is where I've determined to place my name. Just as we see, and I get ahead of myself, but we'll look at it again. Just as we see it at the tabernacle, and just as we see at the temple, when the glory of God comes and fills and manifests before the people. And on the day of Pentecost, God did that with his church. God chooses the place in which he will receive worship. And folks can talk about the church of their choice. And unless it's the one that God chose, it's not worth anything. Back then, again, where we started in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes, to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek. Thither thou shalt come. God chooses a place to receive worship. God chooses a place to place his name. And we looked at those verses as well. And that's where God is officially represented before his people. Where God is officially represented before the world. All these cat and dogs organizations, you know, Rome and the Pope and all these folks. That's not the place. And God has had such a place. God has had such a house in every age and in every time with his people. Again, to Moses, God says in Exodus 3 and verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am. Sent me unto you. I am. It's related to the whole name of God and Jehovah. And it's related as well to what the Lord would say in the New Testament. You know, except you believe that I am, you shall perish in your sins. And he identifies himself as Jehovah. Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. And God reveals that to Moses. And that is his name. And thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. The Lord said, you know, before Abraham was, I am. Well, you know. Yeah, that always gives me goosebumps when I think about it. You shall say, I am sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. The Lord said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord said, glory would be unto God in the church throughout all ages. God said to Moses, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. And what the Lord reveals here to Moses indicates that, you know, there would be a place, there would be an authorized entity and an institution, something that was localized and visible to men, a place that would represent God's name in every generation. And it began with Moses. And we're not talking about bricks and stones, and we'll look at that. And he talks about lively stones that we are. The Lord's church is an assembly. It is an entity. It's not a building. The Old Testament, you know, there was the tabernacle, there was the temple to teach us these truths. And that God had a place to put his name. God puts his name today in the true New Testament churches. God has such a place than in every age. The tabernacle was the house of God. And God gave specific instructions to his people concerning the building of that tabernacle. And we are to learn from those things. In Exodus 25, God says, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of the instruments thereof. Even so shall ye make it." It had to be done as God said. It had to be done according to the pattern that God said. There couldn't be deviation. There couldn't be change. You know, the Romanists and the Protestants, they say, well, you know, we could change the way people are baptized. We can change what the gospel is. They say, well, you get, you know, you're saved when they dump some water on you. Well, God said it has to be according to the pattern. And understand this applies certainly to the Lord's church. If we read Paul writes in Hebrews in chapter 8, verse 5. And of these things, of the tabernacle and the temple, and who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, "For see," saith he, "that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount." Listen, it's to be by God's direction. It's to be in accordance with God's instructions. And if it's not, God's not going to place his name there. And it's not his house. And it's not his place in that age. And so the instructions were given to Moses very detailed. Sometime we'll go over that. A long time ago, I preached on the tabernacle and all the things that were involved there. And nothing was left up to chance or left up to human whim. Or human, God said, didn't say, well, do this, Moses, but if you can't find that, maybe you could do this or do something else. Or Moses didn't say, well, God said that, but I can't find that, so I'm going to use. No, it wasn't the way it was. And it was to teach us that we have to do things in accordance with what God has said. And God has a place in every age and every generation. And this begins officially, if you will, with Moses and the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was the house of God, where God would meet with his people. And the place where we meet, where we worship, where we meet with God, has to be in accordance with his standards in every detail. And thus we identify the place of God's choosing by how it aligns with God's instructions. And with God's pattern, and what he has set forth, and with what he has said. And so we can identify that place from the scriptures. And then, when that was done according to God's pattern, according to God's standards, according to God's instructions, God publicly showed his acceptance of that place. And here we're talking about the tabernacle, and we'll eventually look at the temple and then the Lord's church. But if we look over in Exodus chapter 40, and I'll begin reading with verse 33. And there concerning the tabernacle, God said, after it was completed, after everything had been done exactly as he said, God says, this is my house in this age. This is the place I will place my, this is where I will meet with my people. Exodus 40, verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate, So Moses finished the work. Now Jesus Christ finished his work. A much greater work. But the foreshadow, the picture, the type, Moses did exactly as God had told him. He finished the work. He completed the instructions. Verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Listen, people could see that. People could recognize God said, this is it. This is the place. It's been done according to my instructions. Then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The Jews call it, and oftentimes Christians refer to the Shekinah glory. That word's not exactly, is not in that exact sense in the scriptures, but again, it's the glory of God, it's the manifestation of God. It's that where God said, this is my house in this age. God showed his acceptance of that place, his endorsement of that place. God said, this is my house. This is the place I have chosen for this generation to represent my name. And that's done so that men might know, that they might identify with his chosen house by its pattern, by what was accomplished. Well, next week we'll go on and look at the temple, which is a very similar situation. But here was the tabernacle. It was built in accordance with God's instructions and God's plan. And God said, this is where I will meet with my people in this age. This is my house in this age. This is where I'll place my name. This is kind of important stuff, I think. And there's no leeway. I told Moses exactly as I said. Paul tells us, you know, we're to learn from that after the pattern that I showed thee in the mount. And so, brethren, by the grace of God, I pray we might continue on in that pattern that was shown of God, that we might be manifest to ourselves and to others that indeed this is the house of God. Say, well, it's not holding too many of them. No, the Lord said, where two or three are gathered in my name. And man may not think there's much of it. It measures up in every sense, in every way, you know, to the tabernacle and the temple. Doesn't have all them, the gold and the whatever. But God chose a place. And I believe that that place is right here. And in each and every one of his true New Testament churches. And that doesn't mean everything that calls itself a church. And we'll get into more details on that. But these are foundational things, and I think it's important for us to go over them from time to time. We'll take our hymnals this morning, turn to page number 228. If you like, you can stand, and we'll sing out, If Jesus Goes With Me, number 228.
This one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It may be I must carry the blessed word of life across the burning deserts to those in sinful strife. And though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Tis heaven to me, where I may be if He is there. I count it a privilege His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. But if it be my portion to bear my cross at home, while others bear their burdens across the billows foam, I'll prove my faith in Him, confess my judgments fair. And if He stays with me, I'll stay anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere, where I may be, if He is there. I count it a privilege His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It is not mine to question the judgments of the Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of His word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Tis Him to me where I may be. I count it a privilege His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Privileged to gather as Your people. Lord, we thank You that You've chosen a place to meet with Your people. Lord, that we can come to that place as Your assembly. That we can meet as Your church and know that You're in our midst. And that You've determined place Your name here. Father, we're so unworthy. We're not deserving of any of Your blessings. Yet, Lord, You were pleased to save us. You were pleased to place us in Your church. Father, I pray that we might be faithful in serving Thee. Lord, that we might be faithful as a church and conforming to Your pattern, to Your ways, to Your directions. Father, we pray for our sister churches. all of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lord, you give them courage and discernment, strength to stand in this day in which we live. Father, we pray for those that need healing. Pray for those that need comfort. Father, we know that you undertake on the behalf of your people. Lord, help us to have the confidence that we ought to have in such a sovereign God. And help us to be faithful in performing the duties you've called us to do. Father, we thank you for our Savior, who indeed finished his work, redeemed his people. Father, we thank you that you deigned to count us amongst them. And we do pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.